Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
It is Friday, 9:09. It's creeping up on 9:09. I'm Andy Griffin. This is the Andy Griffin Show, and it is Open Line Friday. And what that means is, of course, Mello is here. Hi, Mello.
Good morning.
But it also means that if there's something on your mind that you want to talk about, we would love to hear from you. 673-5890. Sometimes as Mello and I are chatting, she'll disappear for a minute. That's because she's answering your calls. Mm-hmm. And so puts you in the queue and we'll get you on air. You can also text me. I know a lot of folks don't like to talk on the radio, but they would like their voices heard. You can text me. So the text line is 467-5842. That's my personal cell. I'm holding it right here in my hand. 467-5842. 435 area code 467-5842. Now, if you don't mind talking on the radio and you have an opinion to offer, Mello will be the very sweet and kind voice that you will hear. It's 673-5890. 435 area code. And then it's 673-5890. We would, of course, love to hear from you today. Mello, everything going okay for you?
Yeah, it's great. It's Friday, my last day off before I go back to work on Monday. So
thank you so much for filling in while I was gone. I know you had some interesting guests, a lot of fun, and it is comforting knowing I can leave and not have to do some of the stuff that I used to have to do when you weren't around, which is either find someone or... Now, somebody said, why don't you just play the best of the Andy Griffin Show? I can do that, but it requires... So I don't have... Besides Mello helping me on Friday, I don't have an assistant. I can't say, hey, go get some best of shows ready for me. I have to do all that myself. Mm-hmm. And so it ends up, if I end up having to play like one or two or three or five best of shows, it takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
So basically going on vacation, you know, you have to work an extra 4 hours so you can be gone for eight. And then it's like,
right. That takes the whole point away.
So.
And I like the opportunity. Anyway. So thank you.
Yeah. And thank you. I did get to listen to a little bit. My wife listened to you. My dad listened to you while I was off. And
So they report back.
Did a great job.
Thank you.
Did a great job. All right. I want to point some folks to a story I wrote on our website, 890kdxu.com. If you would, and see Mello's dropping out because she's got to answer the phone. I see the phone is ringing, so we'll let her do that. But I want to point you listeners out to a story I wrote on our website, 890kdxu.com. Now, the essence of the story is this. So, and it's kind of a weird deal. Okay, so space junk. You're like, okay, space junk. What does that mean, space junk? Space junk is the stuff that falls from the sky, from ours and other countries' space programs. China's had a real problem with space junk, by the way. That does not burn up in the atmosphere. Most of it is, you know, it's incredibly hot, the re-entering and everything, and most of it burns up in the atmosphere. But there are pieces of space junk that, for whatever reason, and scientists at this point are not sure why, that survived the burn-up, even though they were technically not supposed to. So last weekend, in a little town outside of Nairobi in Kenya, an 8-foot-long 1,100-pound piece of space junk fell on this village. Now, the good news is the 1,100-pound thing did not hit any people. But imagine falling out of the sky. Mel's back with us. Imagine falling out of the sky an 1,100-pound piece of space junk that didn't burn up in the atmosphere.
That's a half a ton, by
the way. So... anyway, so I decided yesterday to do a little research on how often this happens. Has anyone ever been killed by space junk? Are we in danger here in southern Utah of space junk falling on us? How fast the things are moving when they hit, et cetera, et cetera. And so I don't want to get into it too much on the show because I want you to go to read my story.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, go to 890kdxu.com and read my space junk story. The answer all those questions you'll find out the name of there's only one person that's ever actually been hit by space junk.
Mm.
You'll find out her name. It was a woman.
Mrs. Junk.
Yeah. And just read more up on space junk falling
Very cool.
from the sky.
So we do have a caller on line one. His name's Adam, and he wants to talk about St. George and line dancing.
Line dancing. All right, Adam, what do you got, man? I don't know much about line dancing, so you're going to have to help me.
So I'm...
Turn your radio down if you can.
Sorry. I get a little frustrated with St. George sometimes because I'm... Obviously, if you're not a hiker and you're not a biker and you don't run the marathon, you don't do any of those things, but you like other things like dancing, concerts, you know, something that's more than, you know, the average. Everyone loves the marathon. I get it, but not everyone likes to do that.
Right.
And so it is really hard. It's really hard for the average person like myself that loves dancing, and because there's just nothing other than the one and only yay, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's just nothing for it. And I wish there was more people would talk about it. And because like yesterday, your guys' program, you know, everyone was sitting there saying how awesome it was that, you know, there's the marathon and
all the races and everything. Yeah.
Yep, the parks and all that's great. I'm not knocking any of that. But if you're not that outdoorsy kind of person, but you love the nightlife, there is nothing for the younger generation. At all here in St. George.
That's kind of true. Even you think about some of the recreation here, you know, climbing walls and some of that type of stuff, it's still not what you're talking about for sure. And I guess my answer, Adam, would be maybe, you know, is Vegas too far? Because there's certainly a lot of that stuff in Vegas.
Yeah, but why have it in Vegas when you can do it here? I mean, line dancing isn't terrible.
Yeah.
You know, there's a ton of people that love line dancing here. They just don't say anything because, you know, they know it's either going to get shut down because, oh, it's going to bring a lot of people to, a club or whatever. It's just, I don't know, just really, really irritating and frustrating if you're not an average love marathons and go in the park and it's really frustrating.
I know what you're saying. I understand. I'm a concert guy. I love going to concerts. We don't get big ones here. I mean, I've gone to a few out at Tuacon and they're, you know, kind of the B list, but some of them are pretty cool. I went to the Grits and Glamour last year with Lori Morgan and Pam Tillis, and that was pretty cool. But, yeah, as far as the big names, you just don't get them here.
And I understand why, because we're a smaller town, and, you know, there's a lot of retirees that live here. I'm not against them either. But
hey, Eric, have you heard about line dancing with Eric Dodge at the rink?
Yes, and that's been a good thing. But he only does that one day of a month.
Oh, it's only once a month.
And so, yeah, and that's great. That's awesome. And I love going and doing that with Eric. But that's only one time of a month. And he, you know, obviously he's a busy man.
Yeah.
It's just really frustrating when anyone wants to go to a dancing thing, and it just, I don't get it. I really don't get it, and I've lived here my whole entire life. So it is really frustrating that the people on the outside of all those things get crapped on because they don't we don't have any options, and that's why there's suicides. That's why there's more things. I'm talking like the people on the outside of it. You know, if you're not a marathon runner and love doing all those things, then you don't have nothing here.
So just more outlets for people is what you're looking for.
All right.
Yep. And that's why you don't find any people that stay here in St. George as, you know, families, because there just isn't there isn't anything.
Do you have kids, Adam, by the way?
I don't. No kids. You know, eventually I will, but
I have a couple of my kids moved up north, but it wasn't for nightlife. It was because they had kids and they wanted to be in a place where there were a lot of options for their little kids, you know, lots of play groups and activities and stuff. So I thought that was interesting. But anyway, thank you for the call, Adam. Appreciate it.
Yep. Bye.
919 on KDXU. I don't know, Mello. He brings up a good point in that maybe there is a lack of nightlife and dancing and stuff. By the same token, I have a hard time kind of relating to that, because I don't feel like Vegas is that far to go for things like concerts.
Right.
I mean, if you want to see someone big, Vegas has the biggest of the biggest, right? I mean, they have anything from U2 to you know, the big, you know, all the big, you know, people that are in Billie Eilish and people like that are popular right now. And so as far, and I'm not a dancer. I have a dance story. Do you want to hear my dance story?
Oh my gosh, I'd love to.
Yeah. So I had just gotten back off of my LDS mission, right? Okay. So you don't go to dances on your mission, right? So this would have been mid 80s. I left in 85. I got home in 87. And 3 days after I got home, I called a former girlfriend, and I wouldn't say ex because we didn't break up. I just went on a mission, but I called a girlfriend, and she's like, "Hey, there's a dance for the single adults in the area. You want to go?" And I was like, "Sure, why not?" So I went dancing with her, and gosh, 10 minutes into the dance, she's over there smiling and kind of half laughing as we're dancing. And you know, it's really loud; you can't really communicate. But after our dance was over, we're over the sideline getting some punch or whatever, and I said, "Heidi, what were you laughing at?" She goes, "Oh, nothing." I was like, "Come on, what were you laughing at?" She said, "Well, you look like you haven't danced for 2 years."
Oh, that's
and I
so
said,
sad.
"I haven't danced for 2 years. I was a missionary." Anyway, yeah, and that was actually just about the last time I went dancing.
Oh, I don't blame you. I have about as much rhythm as any white girl. I'm not a very good dancer either. Yeah. My husband is a great dancer.
Really?
Yeah, he's got some
big
moves.
Tall dude.
Big tall dude, and he can move. Yep.
Nice.
Yeah,
he can shake it, huh?
He can shake it. Yep.
All right, there you go.
Yeah, but I understand what Adam was saying. It's just frustrating when you see all of the attention given to the marathon and all of the outdoors things, but there's not another avenue for other people that may not have those outdoorsy interests is all I think he was trying
to
say.
Yeah, and it's unique for him because, and for a lot of people who grew up here and stayed here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you have a situation where you're hoping that the town will grow up around you and there will be some of that stuff. Well, the town grew up, but it grew up into this outdoor mecca.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always been a retirement mecca, and it's also now an outdoor mecca. And what we didn't get, what it didn't grow up into, was a nightlife mecca.
Right. But I don't even think he's talking about drinking and stuff like that. He's just talking about dancing.
Yeah.
So, hopefully that Eric Dodge.
No episode of Footloose, though. We have not barred dancing or anything like that.
That's what I asked him. I said, "You mean there's not dancing allowed?" And he said, "No, just there's not as much dancing as he would like." So that makes sense.
Somebody texted and said there is dancing in the Washington City Red Barn.
Oh, that's great.
Maybe the Staley Village, whatever that is over there.
Right. Well, there's a Red Barn
every weekend. So I think Red Barn has moved, though, over to that little car wash by Walmart, mm-hmm. the actual Rolly Red Barn. But I think the former building they were in, they've turned it into a little bit of a dance hall or something.
Well, that's
I don't
great.
Know.
There you go, Adam.
So, and then another text says, "I'm not sure what this guy's talking about. There's country swing line dancing 4 times a week around town." So maybe it's just a matter of finding the right...
Right, finding the right group of people that knows where everything
publicity,
is.
Yeah, so... But I'm not a dancer. I,
Me either.
Ever since Heidi told me I looked like I hadn't danced for 2 years. I did take my wife to BYU homecoming. It would have been like fall of 87. And the cool thing about that, so in high school you have, you know, some cover band or even canned music, and that's it. At the BYU homecoming I went to with my wife, they had three separate rooms. One was jazz music, one was popular music, and the third one was, I don't even remember, it was blues. I mean, it was, okay. And it was so cool because we kind of room hopped and went to the different rooms and stuff. And of course, those that know me know I spent most of my time in the jazz room because I love jazz music, but that was a lot of fun.
That's actually where my parents met, was at a BYU Western dance. Yeah.
Really?
Yep. He asked.
Oh, I think that was the third one, was Western, was country music. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Now that you mentioned. That's where they met.
So. Nice. Okay, a couple of things I want to bring up. And again, you're always welcome to call, folks, 673-5890 or text 467-5842. Story out of Ohio fascinates me. So, Ohio, this school teacher, right, was told last fall, so not very long ago, but she was told that she would have to quit or she would be fired. They said, you can either resign or we're going to fire you. Your choice. So she resigned under pressure. What was her transgression? Why did she get fired? Well, she refused to call two students who call themselves transgenders by their preferred pronouns. Mm. She said, no, I've known Susie since she was 8 years old, and she'll be a she. She'll always be a she to me, so I'm going to call her a she. Well, Susie got offended and called her mom or whoever, called the school district. And then it happened a second time. Someone that she'd known as one gender her for years decided they wanted to be a they-them, which, by the way, she's an English teacher.
That's so hard
And
for
an
me.
English teacher knows you don't call one person they-them. That's improper English. But anyway, yeah, she said she got fired. I said this was last. This was actually a year ago in the fall, so it's a couple of years ago now, a year and a half, whatever. But so the lady, the teacher's name is, what is her name? Maybe it doesn't put her name in there. Vivian Gerarty, and in the Jackson School District in Ohio. She said, you know what? You guys going to make me quit or fire me? Well, I'm going to file a lawsuit. And so she did. And it was just announced she won a $450,000 settlement from the Jackson School District for them making her quit.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's interesting. I wouldn't have thought that.
All right. You know what I mean? I'm like raising a flag. Like, finally, some common sense in this world.
Yeah.
You tell an English teacher, hey, you have to use improper English and call these kids that you know aren't a certain gender you'll call them they, them, because they prefer it that way.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, it's really confusing too, like, especially as a mom, because my daughters have friends that go by they, them, and they expect me to understand what they're trying to communicate to me. They're like, yeah, they broke up with their partner who's actually a boy, but now they're a they, them, and it's so confusing. I'm like, you mean she broke up with him? Like, I can't even follow.
How many of them are there?
I know. I'm like, and she's like, you're not being very politically correct, Mom. Yeah. I'm like, well, that's not my thing. I'm sorry.
We had a story. Remember that story of the transgender person that killed their parents right here in Southern Utah?
I do.
And our news guy came on and said, at the time, this was in the morning, and this person was still at large. They were walking around our town, presumably with a weapon. They had just committed murder. And our news guy came on and said, yeah, they are at large, and they were last seen. And I said to him, I said, you know, between breaks, I said, is it more than one person? Because everything you just said in that news report sounded like there was two of them or three of them or something. He said, no, it's AP style to call them they, them. That's Associated Press style. And I said, I understand. And we strive to seek AP style in all that we do. But you are confusing listeners. You need to.
I'm confused.
Yeah. I said, you need to either call them by their, call her or him by their name and not. I mean, people are confused.
Yeah, don't use the pronoun then.
I said, we don't need people walking around this town looking for two or three or more armed people when it's just one person.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, Miss Girardi got her settlement. They talked about some of the conversations she was having. So a couple of teachers and an administrator came to her and says, "You got to go. Call these two people by their preferred pronouns." And she said, "Well, I'm an English teacher. I'm not going to do that." And one of the administrators said, "That's going to be problematic." They said, "Are you really prepared to draw that line in the sand?" And Girardi said, "Yes, I am." And they said, "Well, we're probably going to have to take some action against you." And she said, "Well, I guess I'm going to have to resign then, aren't I? Because I'm not doing that."
Wow. Good for her.
I love that kind of conviction, that kind of, like, we cave. And I'm going to point my finger at myself first, because I'm not a big conflict guy. I don't like getting in big arguments and fights. I don't like yelling at people or being yelled at. I'm just not into that. And I know that's funny for a talk radio show host to feel that, but I don't love conflict. And so for me, I think for all of us, we kind of cave a little too easily. And you were talking about how you actually drew a line in the sand. I don't know how personal you want to get, but you drew a line in the sand with one of your kids that said, "This is it. You know, you don't, there's no more letting it slide."
No, this is it.
I love that.
Do it or don't do it.
Was it easy to do?
Are you talking about the pronouns or the kicking out?
The kicking out part.
Oh, yeah. No, it's been really hard. It's been 3 years. But it's wearing on my marriage. Like, it's really challenging. And she's not getting a job. And she needs to get a job. And so this morning, and she'll tell me, "I need money for gas." And I'm like, "Text me a picture of your gas tank." And it's like a quarter full. I'm like, "You don't need money for gas. You need to go to work." And then this morning, she's like, "I want to go do DoorDash, but I need some money for gas." I'm like, "They're hiring right down the street at the Dutchman's." Yeah,
get a real job.
Go down there and get a real job. And so guess what? She just actually texted me while we're on the show.
She got a job?
She's applying at the Dutchman's. So I guess it's working. Because I'm not giving her any more money.
Yeah, good for you.
It's hard. Because I love her.
It is hard. And, you know, I remember, this was years ago, an old neighbor of ours. They had a kid who was like that, who didn't want to get a job, didn't want to work, was participating in some illicit substances. Mm-hmm. Not to mention alcohol, which technically wasn't illegal because they were 21, but is a bad thing. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Why are you letting her get away with this?" And my neighbor said, "Well, last time I drew the line, she went and lived under the underpass or under the whatever it is by Nyson Park." Mm. She's like, I couldn't bear the thought of my child being homeless. And I said, "Yeah, that's a pretty tough situation." But you said something just a little while ago. You said you have a car. You can live in that if you have to. Mm-hmm. That's tough for a mom to say, isn't it?
It is tough. It is tough. But it's tougher to enable her and to let her keep doing the same things and manipulating me with her behavior. I just, like, her dad doesn't want to take her in because he says it already cost him his last marriage, like, with his second wife. So,
He cheated on her, too.
I think he may have cheated on her, too.
All right. We got to get a commercial break in. There's a related story about college professors and the environment that they are in. If you're a conservative professor on a college campus, guess what? It ain't good.
You're a minority.
It ain't good because you got a lot of people looking down their noses at you, maybe looking through their little academic glasses at you and saying, "Conservative, you are so stupid."
Yeah.
All right. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Right now, check in with weather.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Welcome back. I am Andy Griffin, 936 on KDXU. Mellow Finlinson is here as well. Hi, Mellow.
Hello.
They call her Mellow Yellow.
Mellow Yellow.
Well, I think that's what the song says anyway.
Yeah.
So my wife said you were playing some Mellow Yellow music while I was going.
Yeah, in the middle.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah, you sandwiched it.
Okay, so Mello, let me ask you this. The bastion of free speech, anywhere in the world, should be where? I mean, if you go to college, you should be able to say anything you want on campuses and just be, I mean, it's college. You explore your freedom, right?
I think so.
Not so much anymore.
No?
No. If you are a conservative on a college campus, especially if you're a professor on a college campus who has conservative views, oh my goodness, they're bad. I mean, even you would think, okay, Utah schools, maybe Utah State, maybe BYU would be really, really conservative, right?
I think so.
Well, a recent report surveyed over 6,000 faculty members from 55 four-year colleges and universities, including 200 faculty members from BYU and Utah, and it reveals that fear and self-censorship are campus realities all over the country.
Self-censorship as far as from the professors are censoring?
Well, let me read a little more. This is a story by Jason Swenson. He says, campus free speech chill appears to be felt more deeply by conservative faculty members. Nearly half of conservative faculty who responded to the survey report feeling unable to voice their opinions because of how others may react. Liberals do not report that problem. They say whatever they want and nobody cares.
I think that's true. I think that's true in a lot of instances, even in life, with the things that we're allowed to say that we think versus what we actually think. Like, we don't actually get to say everything we think, even in common conversation.
So let's go back to Thanksgiving. Remember that right before we had a show, right before Thanksgiving, and we were like, okay, in order to keep peace at your family gathering, this was just fresh off of Trump winning, we were, all of us conservatives, were told, hey, don't talk about politics at Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Just keep your mouth shut. And I was like, all right, you know, I didn't want to, but, and then I got thinking about it, and especially in context with this, talking about the university professors being basically shushed or shamed, why can't I talk about what I think and believe? Why is that frowned upon?
Right, there's no discourse anymore.
Yeah.
It's all about, going to be canceled if you talk about certain things that you shouldn't talk about.
So, some other findings from the survey. 87% of faculty reported finding it difficult to have an open and honest conversation about political topics. One in seven faculty members reported being disciplined or threatened for discipline for teaching, research, academic discussions, or off-campus speech. And one-third report toning down their written work so that they would not be called out controversy-wise. So,
really?
Basically, our bastions of free speech, the university campuses, well, they're free as long as you say what they want them to.
Right. It's an agenda. It feels like everything's an agenda for less conservative values. And then with people that are conservative kind of muting their voices, then it makes you feel like everybody actually feels like the liberals, but that's because the conservatives aren't speaking up their truth.
I think, and I've said this before, I said it way before the election, that I feel like everyday America is still conservative. Everyday America is still patriotic, loves this country, loves family, loves God. And I honestly felt after my cruise down, family cruise, we went on a Carnival cruise, and there were families and grandmas and grandpas and sons and daughters and grandkids. And I said, this is really America, not this loud cacophony of liberal voices telling us that we're evil for not wanting our drag queens to read stories to our kids in elementary schools. I said, real America is mom and dad and grandma and grandpa and kids and families and going to church. And
exactly. And kind of going back to like the liberal side where they're trying to change the sex of children and to encourage the different pronouns. I have one of my daughter's friends who back like 4 years ago decided she wanted to be a boy, right?
Okay.
So she was dressing, she changed her name, she changed her pronouns, everything. Well, my daughter kind of cut off contact with her for several years, got back in touch with this friend, and now this friend has long hair and now is a girl again.
Uh-huh.
So can you imagine if those those extreme measures were taken during this period of just confusion and adolescence and the...
By extreme measures, you mean surgeries and
right,
stuff.
Right, the surgeries and things.
Drugs and all
right,
that.
Right, yeah. But they're influenced by the TikToks, they're influenced by the social media, and then if you're feeling this way, then it's probably because you are actually living in a different kind of body. Like, they're being fed all these answers, mm-hmm, and they're mm-hmm. just trying to find their peace. And so she finally came out of it, and I'm just like, gosh, they need to quit with all those extreme measures of surgeries.
Let me ask you this. So you have a young son. He's what, 7?
8. He just turned 8.
8 years old. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday.
Yeah.
To
Maddox.
I wanted to say Max, but I'm like, it's not Max. It's Maddox.
Maddox, okay. After Greg Maddox.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that'll help me remember, actually, because I'm a baseball guy. Greg mm-hmm. Maddox. Okay. So how do you, as Maddox's mom, and Jeff, as Maddox's dad, keep him from being influenced by all that? How do you keep him from wanting to do some kind of weird pronoun and all that stuff in a couple of years?
Right. Well, his dad is very active in his life. He's a very good dad. And there's a caller. But he's a very good dad, and he's very involved.
Go ahead. Sorry. Good dad, very active. And again, she's answering the call, so we'll let her do that. But... I know there is a big movement right now for us to be more parent-like. There are, starting January 1st, so enacted now, a lot of laws around the country disciplining these social media companies like TikTok, like Facebook, like Instagram, like Snapchat, to quit trying to capture these kids, these 8-year-olds and 10-year-olds and 12-year-olds, and get them addicted.
Yeah, and we're not letting him on social media at all.
Good move.
Right, and we have a caller on line one. Brent is there, and he wants to talk about the universities, too.
All right, Brent, what's up?
Well, good morning. I am old enough to remember the Clash when they were on the Ray-Didio. you remember the song Know Your Rights?
I don't remember that. No, I don't. But I'm old, too, so maybe not as old as you, but I am old.
Well, you may remember it. Know Your Rights, all 3 of them.
Yeah?
You have the right to free speech.
Yeah.
As long as you're not stupid enough to use it.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about the other 2?
Oh, you have a right to, one of them is to eat as long as you don't mind frustration. It's basically, it sounded like standing in line for the dole and all of the socialist problems associated with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the third one escapes my memory right now, but hey, I'm old.
We got to look at it. I'll get Mello to look that one up. What was the name of it again?
Know Your Rights.
Know Your Rights.
The Clash, far better band than the Humpy Pistols with Sid Vicious.
The Clash. I remember The Clash. Sure.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, speaking of old school music, today is Stephen Stills' birthday from Crosby, Stills, and Nash. He is 80 years old today.
Okay, I found the three rights.
She found them. Okay.
Okay, the right not to be killed. Murder is a crime unless it's done by a policeman or an aristocrat.
Wait, is this from the song?
This is from the song.
This is from the song. Okay, right not to be killed. Okay.
The right to food money, providing, of course, you don't mind a little investigation, humiliation, and if you cross your fingers, rehabilitation.
Okay.
And then, like he said, the right to free speech as long as you're not dumb enough to actually try it.
Not dumb enough. That's the adjective. So
I've often said I'm dumb, but I ain't stupid.
It's a distinction with a difference, baby.
Yeah, absolutely. All right,
so,
thanks, Brent.
Stephen Stills, love his music, not so good on his politics.
Yeah,
but,
no,
hey,
you're right.
It's a big world. There's room for all of us as long as you don't step on my toes or anybody else's.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for calling. I appreciate that.
Have a good morning, both of you.
Thanks, Brent.
You too. One of my favorite songs of all time, Mello, is a song called Southern Cross by Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Mm. Most people, it was not a giant hit. I mean, it was a minor hit. It charted, but it never got to number one, that kind of hit. So earlier this morning, I played some of it on KDXU, during our little almanac section. It's hard to say fast, but I think on this show a couple of years ago, I played it probably on Stephen Stills' birthday. Now, for those that don't know much about Crosby, Stills, and Nash, they were all in bands, other bands, before they got together. The Byrds, Buffalo Springfield, and the Hollies were the three guys were in bands. Stills was in Buffalo Springfield, and they all kind of weren't satisfied with their bands and stuff, and so they're like, okay, we're going to form our own band. They were kind of jamming together and like, you know, we should do this professionally. And so they did. And this song, Southern Cross, one of my favorites of all time, was one of their hits.
Got out of town on a boat going to Southern Ireland.
So the song is, and I'm not going to play the whole thing, we don't have time, but the song is basically an homage to a constellation that you can only see from the Southern Hemisphere, from Australia, called the Southern Cross. And it's a story song about the author, I'm assuming either Nash or Stills. I'm not sure which one wrote that, Stephen Stills. But Stills was the one that was kind of in love with the ocean, so I'm thinking he wrote it. But basically, it's about, you know, love lost, and he lost the love, so he volunteered to work on this boat, and he saw the Southern Cross when he finally got a hold of the girl. And, I don't know. Just listen to it. Listen to the harmony.
Think about how many times.
Anyway, we'll go to commercial break with Crosby, Stills, and Nash's Southern Cross.
The latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
All right, special prize today for Mello for noticing that Andy has actually lost some weight.
Yes,
I'm working on it. Mello, I came back yesterday, saw most people that I work with, and nobody said a thing about
really?
It.
Really? No, you can totally see in your face.
No, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, looks good.
Working on it. Okay, I have I want to call it a philosophical question, but it's not. It's just a silly question. But up north, they had something called the New Year's Day. I forgot the name. Anyway, Salem Pond Polar Plunge, where a group of people, and it's grown every year, gotten bigger and bigger and bigger, they all jump in the Salem Pond up in northern Utah, and it is usually when they jump in, it is the, you know, in the 30s.
Frigid.
And that's the air temperature. The water probably right around that too, like barely not iced over. So I will ask you, and then I will offer my opinion too, would you do a polar plunge, and are there parameters you would want to set if you did?
No, of course I would. Just dare me. I'll do it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't mind jumping in very, very cold water?
No, as long as I can get out and then go hop in the hot tub.
Okay. Well, yeah. And that is it Sweden or Finland or something? They do that all the time. They go jump in the icy water, and then they go immediately and go get in a sauna.
Yeah. Some people actually have a tank, like, at their house, and they do that every morning.
Ice bath, yeah.
Yeah, an ice bath on purpose.
On purpose. I don't know about the on purpose part. I think that's crazy to do that on purpose every day.
But. No, there's reasons behind it that actually help your mental health. And
so in 2000 and it was the winter, so late 2019, early 2020, right before COVID, as a matter of fact, when we moved, my wife loves swimming. Anybody that knows me knows my wife is just a fish. She was, you know, on a swim team in high school. She's always loved swimming. And in fact, she says a lot of women her age don't go swimming, not because they don't like swimming, but because they don't want to put on a swimsuit in front of strangers, right?
Mm. You know?
But anyway, she loves to go swimming. So, when we were going to move from our old house, we were looking for a house with a pool because that was important to her. And So we looked and looked and looked. We actually put an offer in on a house that had a pool, but our house didn't sell. And so fell through and someone else bought it. And so at a certain point, we're like, you know what? Let's do this. Let's just buy a house and put our own pool in. Now, this was pre-COVID, and pools were, I mean, you try to put a pool in now, it's 100 plus, 150,000. Mm-hmm. Back then, we paid, this was concrete work, this was everything, was, I think it was 50 grand, 52 mm-hmm. or something like that. So, but they completed the pool, the concrete on the outside wasn't done, so there weren't like cool sidewalks and stuff, but the pool itself was done at Christmas time in 2019. And it's Christmas Day, and my wife, who loves swimming, said, I'm not going out in the cold. And my daughters at the time were, you know, 17 and 15 or something like that. They're like, we're not going out in the cold and go swimming because it was cold. You know, it was 35 degrees or whatever. And I said, you know what? It's Christmas, and we have a brand new pool that's finished. I'm jumping in. So I jumped in. And they all thought I was crazy.
Did you stay in, though?
I stayed in. Yeah, I stayed in for a little while. Yeah, it was. I mean, I didn't frolic, right? I wasn't shooting baskets and jumping around. But I stayed in long enough to prove that I'm a man.
I'm not the man,
but I am a man. Anyway, so polar plunge, would I get into a pool that's covered in ice and snow? Or not a pool, a pond? Probably not. No. I'm not interested in that. You said you would.
But, I would. Yeah, I have.
But yeah. I don't. I did jump in my pool when it was, the water was in the 30s or 40s. The air was in the 30s or 40s, and I did jump in, and it was fine.
Mm-hmm. You lived.
I lived. Yeah. I didn't die. I felt like I was going to die for a few minutes after I did
it. It's so cold. You're like, oh my gosh, that was a bad decision. But they do say that those ice baths help mm-hmm. with physical recovery. Your mental health, they help by decreasing the cortisol levels,
mm-hmm.
helps your immune mm-hmm. system fight off colds and flus, cognitive function, restores balance to your nervous system and improves cognitive function, your metabolism, accelerate metabolism.
I there was a recent article, by the way, and I'm going to counter you a little bit.
Okay.
A recent article said that hot baths or hot tubs are infinitely better than cold baths.
Really?
In almost every category. They did test after test after test and found that the hot baths are actually better than the cold baths.
Okay. I'm going to do some research on that because I haven't heard that.
But they did say both are good for you.
Well, then I would definitely prefer a hot tub.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I'll get a hot tub in my backyard, not a cold tub.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I think it's a good idea.
I love that. I'll do that.
So. Anyway, if anybody wants to invite Mello to polar plunge with them, she is available. Give her a call.
I'll do it.
I actually have a weird little physical thing where I can't get in ponds, rivers, lakes, oceans anymore.
Oh, that's right.
Because of my sepsis situation. So I have to get in. The only water I'm allowed to get into is chlorinated water.
Oh, gotcha.
Where they kill the bacteria. And makes me a little sad. Makes my wife really sad because she loves the ocean. But to borrow a very overused phrase, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. Nothing I can do about it.
No, so you want to stay alive.
I don't want to die. Mm-hmm. That dying would be bad.
Very bad.
So
don't recommend.
Yeah. zero out of five stars. Do not recommend. Well, thank you, you guys, for so much for listening. And again, we go back to kind of reviewing the show. Nightlife in St. George, I don't know. I mean, if you grew up here and you don't want to go to Vegas, there's probably not a ton to do as far as, you know, nightlife. But if you're an outdoors person, there's plenty to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then as far as that lady with the school that got fired and got settled, I say, yay, she stood up for what she believed in.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mello, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure to talk to you. We'll be back on Monday, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Lowe's knows how to help make your Super Bowl 59 party a touchdown. Let us help you prep your home to host with top brands like Charbroil, Blackstone, and LG, so you can be the MVP of game day. Plus, use the Lowe's app to find what you need for a seamless shopping run. Or huddle up with our Lowe's Red Vest associates to help make all your game time hosting decisions.